Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
Glory to God. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to today's class. I'm going to be speaking today and throughout this week on prophecy. That means today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm going to speak and teach on prophecy both in my afternoon classes and in my evening classes, which is exclusive to PSSBC students. I'm going to teach us what prophecy is, how prophecy works, how to make war with prophecy, how to defeat negative prophecy, how to bring prophecy into fulfillment, and all shades of it. I'll teach from the things that I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, not any teaching from any man of God or any pastor anywhere. The things I've known in my work with the Lord. I'm going to counsel that make sure you attend our prophetic service. They would serve as practical classes for you. When you attend the prophetic service, wake up early, pray with us. All of us are praying online from like 5 a.m. Put your writing pad close to you and write down the things God is telling you. Then join the prophetic service and listen to the ministers speak. Pay attention to how many of the things they said that you have already written down, which is a confirmation that you can hear from God, because God doesn't give a message to only one person, unless there's only one. But usually, in the congregation of the righteous, there's always at least two witnesses in the place of prophecy. There's always, Apostle Paul said in the book of Corinthians, that when people prophesy in church, we should have an elder who will judge the prophecy, because sometimes those who are learning to prophesy, they get some things wrong, or they get some interpretations wrong, or they get some meanings wrong. An elder who understands the scripture, when they say an elder, doesn't mean an old person, it means somebody who has been working with the Lord for a while, who knows the scriptures, who knows the Bible, not just reading it, or not having a professorship in it, but somebody who is taught of the word, who knows the word of God in depth, who understands the motive of God, who understands the nature of God. Because when people don't understand the nature of God, they would not give prophecy to fit into the nature of God. They may see somebody in a vision, when somebody in a vision that is being maybe in a coffin, for example, there's somebody in a coffin. You know? Then they will come and meet the person. Ha! You have to pray. I saw you in a coffin. No. That's not the person you saw in the coffin. The nature of God does not kill anybody. God is a life revealer. So when you see that, your duty is to speak the opposite of what you saw, because prophecy comes when we bring it into being. But what you bring into being is likely what you are affirming. So if you then go to the person and say, we saw you in the coffin, what have you affirmed? You have affirmed something that is against the nature of God. So a lot of people don't know that. They don't understand the nuances of prophecy. They don't. And sometimes that thing they saw might just be symbolic. It will symbolize the end of a chapter of the person's life. Maybe the person is in a bad marriage, and that marriage was abusive, and the person is going to die, like physically die. And then the Lord shows you that prophecy. The Lord says, ah, see this thing, see this thing, see this thing. And so you go to the person and you say to the person, ah, this is what I saw. So the person will then take affirmative action. I have a pastor friend, and many of you here know him. That elderly man, we minister in his church once a year, or sometimes twice. His first daughter was married to the son of one land grabber in Lagos. And the land grabber's family was a tough one, petish and all that. But the daughter got pregnant for this young man, and she told the father she loves him and she wants to marry him. So the man said, okay. He said, he's born again. You are going to a bad family, but he said, he's born again. Let's see how it goes. Then they had two children, and this man will beat this lady, beat her into stupor. And they would go to the hospital, arrest him, talk to him, admonish him, he would write undertaking, he would make promises, and he would then do it again. So one day, God showed a revelation. This young man lay dead. They were not, she and the husband were not even having a fight at the time. They were not having any issue. Maybe they've had issues and issues and issues and issues and issues about 6 or 7 times. And then a revelation just came out of nowhere. This girl is dead. So the father got the revelation, asked the Lord, what should I do? The Lord said to him, let the unbelieving depart. Let the unbelieving depart. God did not say English. How will it look? How will your God did not. There are all these things that people will care about, will be talking. Who cares? Who cares about your opinion? God does not look at that at all. God said, let the unbelieving depart. The man just immediately called 1, 2, or 3 people. Pa, pa, pa. I was one of them. Shadinga, I want to share something with you. Ah, this and this and this are the things I saw. What do you think I should do? I said, ah, what do you mean you are sharing with 2 or 3 people? I'm enough. Don't share with 2 or 3 people. You have shared with me, sir. Affirmative action. Immediately. Affirmative action. So the man invited his daughter and the children, said they should come and meet them in Lagos. So they came to his house, and from there, he just took the daughter and the children out of the country. Of course, the young man came, no. That is the essence of prophecy, the essence of visions and prophecy, to help you to prevent problem. You know, when bad things happen in the church, you ask questions. A lot of people will ask, but I mean, God did not tell you anything. You did not see anything. Are you sure? How can this thing happen? God did not tell us, you know? And then when God tells us, then some of us will not do anything because we are afraid of religious people or people's opinion. So we are going to learn much about prophecy this week. Invite your pastor, tell your pastor to come and listen. It will help his ministry. It will also help him in leading the church you are attending. So invite your pastor. All right, so I'm going to start with the basics. How to hear from God. A lot of people will write to me, driving guy, I cannot hear from God. God does not talk to me. I pray and fast. I don't see any revelation. I don't hear anything. I pray, I talk to God, but God does not talk to me. You know, the mistake many of us make is that we do not understand that there is a process to adapting to new technology. When we are using Windows 5 or Windows 6, I remember I was using Windows 9. I got a notification from Windows. They said, oh, I have to close all my apps and accept a mail they will send to me. They want to upgrade my laptop to Windows 10. They didn't just to dump all the features of Windows 10 on my Windows 9 system. They had to upgrade the whole system. Somebody that has never heard the voice of God since he or she was born until somebody is maybe 20s or 30s. The person just wants to begin to hear God like that. They say, but God spoke to Samuel. Pay attention to Samuel. If I tell you the secret today and I show you the secret, don't argue with it anymore. My own class is not, I'm not a preacher. My class is for doing. If you come to my class, you attend willingly to the little I know. I expect you to practice and then bring me back your report card in a few weeks so that you can tell me, but I don't got what you have taught is rubbish. Or so that you can come back and say, my God, it changed my life. The first rule of hearing from God is listening. The first rule. When Jesus was baptized, the Bible said, God spoke from heaven and God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. You see, hear, it is not talk to him. There's a difference. Talk to him and hear ye him are two different things. Many of us, we do not understand. We go to God with problems. God, talk on this thing. Talk on this thing. You to look at it. You imagine that your child comes to you. You want to talk to your child. I can't imagine I'm sitting down. My son comes and my son says, Daddy, I want PS5. Talk on PS5. Talk on PS5. If you don't talk on PS5, I will not live here. Yes. I also want you to take me to somewhere in America. So talk on summer, talk on PS5, and then talk on changing my wardrobe. Those are the three topics I've got to you. And those are the three topics you have to talk on. Those are the things that concern me. You hear? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Imagine the awkwardness of that kind of conversation. Imagine it. That's what we do to God. Okay. You are here. You understand that that is what you do to God. Can I see your hand? That's what we do, all of us. That's what we do. That's why we don't hear. He said we should hear him. He didn't say talk to him. He said hear ye him. Hear ye him. He didn't say talk to him. That means you would listen, right? He's telling you that you have to upgrade. You have to learn to reverse the principle by which you deal with your God. Many of us don't know that. Look at Samuel. I'm going back to Samuel now. Bible says Samuel was in the house of Eli. And then God began to speak to Samuel. He didn't recognize the voice of God. So he thought it was Eli that was calling him. So he went to Eli and said, Pastor, I'm here. He said, no, I'm not the one calling you. Go and sleep. He went. Then he heard Samuel again, Master. Then, when he had done it three times, Eli now said, okay, that means God wants to talk to this boy. The next time you hear your name like that, say, speak, for your servant hear it. See? for your servant hear it. Samuel will be 10 years old. Samuel was not with his mother. He had bad mentors in Ophni and Phineas. He would have his own complaints. He could have taken the advantage of God wanting to talk to him to say, God, you are here now. Let me talk to you. I want to go back to my mother. I want to go. I'm tired of this place. They are not feeding me well. But the offering will tell you to go and call Sister Jubilee. Sister Jubilee, I'm just joking. No. And then Brother Phineas, the other brother will tell you to go and call Sister whatever. They are sending you a bad errand. They are not holy. I want to leave this place. Someone could have been doing that. But no. The room was not for him to talk. The room was for him to hear. Your servant hear it. God said, hear ye him. See? Hear ye him. The problem is that many of us, we have not separated ourselves from our issues. In order to understand that the issues we are complaining about all the time, no matter how many times we talk about them, if you don't learn how to hear from God, the problems will be the same. Do you know? I've listened to some people pray. I've listened to somebody praying for 6 months. They were praying about the same issue for 6 months. Do you know? That thing can drive somebody crazy. Me, personally, I hate repeating stuff. When I speak, I do not like repeating myself over and over again. Sounds like a broken record. That somebody can be talking to God, Father, this job, and person will talk about it from January to December. Hey? Every time. You know that the person is no longer talking to God. The person is just doing shalai, just doing therapy with that psychiatrist, talking to himself. And that is because the person did not train himself or herself to hear. Hear ye him. How do we hear God? Everything you need to hear God has been given unto you. You now speak in tongues. You are full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is supposed to be your teacher. John chapter 14, 15, 16. I quote this after. I've been quoting it for years. If you hear me teach any message, I must mention it. John 14, 15, 16. The role and duty of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Jesus itemized them. He made sure that they were clear. That this is why the Holy Spirit is coming to you. He's your teacher. He's your guide. He will show you all things. He will lead you into all truth. He will speak through you. So that you don't even have to think of a reply by yourself. He will teach you. He will connect you with realms that you cannot deal with your human ability. Therefore, you have the software, which is the Holy Ghost. It is in you. Your decoder. You have the Holy Ghost in you. You have him. But if you have the Holy Spirit in you and is a teacher, you are not going to then start talking to, when you go to a classroom, you go to listen to the teacher. You don't go to dump, say, teacher, you must speak on Pythagoras theorem today. Teacher, no, you must speak on almighty formula. No, you must speak on, I don't know how many mathematical, whatever you think. There are so many topics. Hey, that's what most of us do. We bring our life issues and then we use them to choke the system in such a way that we are not learning. And as long as we are not listening, and as soon as we are not learning, we cannot grow. If you cannot grow, then you are not a child that can be sent on errand. Parents raise children so that at a point the children they begin to test the children's learning, cognitive abilities, and learning abilities by sending them to do stuff. I can still remember when my mom would call me when I was so little. She would tell me to go and buy Tom Tom down the street. She was testing me. I was maybe five, thereabouts, or six. I remember when she would tell me to go and buy a bitter cola because at that time she was pregnant with her last born. I was a child. I could remember. She would just sit down and watching me as I would go. And then as I would buy it and come back, then she would tell me, did you collect change? Oh, you didn't collect change. Go back and collect change. Then I would go back. And she was trying to teach me, oh, this is how to handle money. This is how to obey my voice. This is how to... Because she was beginning to teach me how to interact with the community outside of family. and how to engage in business, so to say. I could still remember clearly. At that time, I didn't have any problem. I want to discuss with my parents. All I did for several years was to hear them and then to copy them. All of us here. Maybe when you are babies, you cried and cried and cried. Babies complain a lot. Like when they are just born, everything is always making. they complain about everything. Weather change, they will complain. Water is cold, they will complain. They poo-poo, they will complain. They wee-wee, complain. They are hungry, complain. They just feel like complaining, they will complain. Right? Sometimes you don't even know why they are complaining. But when they get to the age of like one or thereabouts, even before one, they will have forgotten about the complaint. Now they know that you can take care of them, so they will rest. And from that point, they begin to study you. They begin to look at you. They begin to watch you. They begin to mimic you. They begin to take their mannerism from you. Babies do hearing for several years as their brain is forming, as their mind is forming. What they do is to hear for several years. They will hear. And then they will now begin to act. They will gain their consciousness. Then they begin to listen to instructions. Then at a certain age, they will begin to say, "Daddy, I want you to buy me this. Daddy, I want to buy me that." Maybe when they are 5, or when they are 6, or when they are 7, when you ask them, "What do you want?" You see, many of them, they didn't even know. And I remember I asked my daughter, "What do you want to buy for you?" She just said, "Anything." You know? Later, when you take her to the supermarket and then she says something she likes, that will be the only thing she'll be asking for. Until you take her back to the supermarket to look for something else again, and then she will say, "Oh, I like this one, I like this one, I like this one." Before then, they have no idea what they want. Why? Because they were trained to hear and to learn and to follow in the footsteps of their parents right from childhood. That is the programming, how they became masters of human reality. And the same process will have to be followed after you become masters of spiritual reality. After you receive the Holy Spirit, the number one thing that a Christian is supposed to do is to hear, and that is not your pastor's sermon. No, that is not anybody's sermon. That is not Brahminga's teaching. No. My teaching is a guide to help you to do. Anybody that says that, just listen to my sermon and you will be fulfilled, that person is a fraud. Or just an egocentric person who didn't want those who are following him to grow. Nobody grows by listening to another person's sermon. All they end up doing is sounding like the person they are listening to. Shared with us before, not here, but on that platform, about a friend of mine, when he is preaching, it sounds exactly like that Adeyedepo. I will tell him, I used to tell him, the original is still alive, he's not dead. You are praying, "God, let my glory shine. Let me be known. Let my ministry be global." And you are sounding like somebody that is already global. So you think people will leave the original and come and carry you fake Oyedepo. To the nuances to everything, he had listened to him so much that he began to speak exactly like him. And his ministry was suffering. Till now, always asking him for financial support. Because he didn't come out to be himself. He didn't follow the due process of becoming a believer. So it is not listening to somebody's voice or somebody's sermon. No. Hearing the Lord starts with reading the Bible. Not reading a chapter. Not saying, give me, what psalm should I read? As if it is one, people are sometimes funny. They want to solve a problem. Bible guy, I should just read Ezekiel chapter 1. That. They turn the word of God into incantation that they want to use to support juju. No. When we say read the Bible, it is not for your head, it is for your spirit. The Holy Spirit in you thrives, feeds on the word of God. You see? As a guy that will say, feed the body that wants the money. You must feed the Spirit that will give you mastery. You must feed the Holy Spirit consistently. You are born of the Word and of the Spirit, so you can speak in tongues. Many of us prefer to speak in tongues to reading scripture. No, you will read the scriptures. You must delight in the Word of God. The way some of us, the way we salivate when we want to eat, when we smell our favorite dish, or when we are going to our favorite restaurant, the way our tummy would leap for joy. That's how you must have delight when it comes to the Word of God. You must hunger for it. You must thirst for it. You must read it. You must study it with the aim of extracting the truth, not memorizing. Not memorizing. A lot of people do not understand that. They think somebody taught them that they must commit the Word of God to memory. That is a false teaching. The Word of God is of no use to you in your brain. It has to be in your spirit. It has to be in your spirit, not in your brain, in your spirit. It has to be decoded into spiritual language, and then it has to be in your spirit. It is there. When there's a problem, quote the word. Oh my. Some ridiculous teachings. Somebody that is, the word of God is English, that you are quoting is English. Not to quote English for problem. Don't quote English for problem. Don't quote your bad language for problem. That language you are quoting itself, that language is a fallen language. Go back to Genesis chapter 11. Go and see that the language you are saying, oh, thou thee, there, there, that language is a fallen language. It is not the language of heaven. It is the language God gave to mankind when they disobeyed him. This English I'm speaking, this English is the language God gave to mankind when we disobeyed him. English, French, Yoruba, Hausa, Igbo, whatever language. It's a fallen language that came from the Tower of Babel. That is not the language God speaks. It is not the language Jesus speaks. It is the truth. It is not Hebrew. Jesus did not speak Hebrew. God did not speak Hebrew. He didn't speak Aramaic. The language of God is the language of angels. It is tongues, and we have received it. However, many of us speak tongues. See, that you speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues. We speak tongues. We do not reason tongues. We do not meditate tongues. You see the problem? Normally, when you speak a language, you speak the language in three forms. You think in the language. There are some people, they think in Yoruba language. Then they speak in English. So you will see it when they are speaking, that they are interpreting from one code to the other code. They think in Yoruba language, and then they want to converse with you in English language. So they will be thinking, and then when they are conversing, you will see that it is a literal interpretation of the Yoruba language that they are rendering to you in English. You can easily deduce that these ones are not natural English speakers. They do not think in English. You understand my class so far? Can I see your hand? Feedback? Are you following? Okay, thank you. So 7 years ago, I was like that. When I was in primary school, I would reason in Yoruba language, it was my first language, and then I was speaking English. Then as I grew older, I said, no, I want to start thinking in English and speaking in English, so that my primary thinking process and speaking process are the same. So I switched. I began to think in English deliberately, and then my command of English language became better. See? And so, again, many of us, we have started speaking in tongues, and yet we do not meditate in the Spirit. We do not meditate in tongues. We meditate in English, we meditate in Yoruba language, and then we speak in tongues. And we have not gotten to that point where we sit down, and as we ponder thoughts in the Spirit, we begin to receive the Word of God. For example, we've been praying in tongues for a whole month. I don't want to embarrass, so I will not ask. But I will ask, but nobody should reply. How many of us here, in the course of this prayer meeting, at a point during the prayer meeting, you are not praying in tongues audibly, you are just listening, and you are writing down instructions from the Lord for your life, for your ministry, for your business. We should have, some of us should have gotten to that point where you just, somebody else is speaking in tongues, but the word of God is coming to you. But not because you are speaking in tongues, no? You are just in the place of prayer, and God begins to talk to you, and you take a pen on your phone, and you begin to write, oh, the Lord says I should do this, the Lord says I should do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. And you are doing it in the place of prayer. Many of us, because we have not upgraded ourselves to hearing. So we just speak in tongues. Ga, 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 ga. Go, 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 go. But then we do not meditate in tongues. If you are going to meditate in tongues, which means you are going to then take the code which you speak and then think also in that code and then see also in that code. That is you being in the spirit, listening, learning to listen to the spirit, not the spirit outward, the spirit of God inside of you. That is learning. All the disciples did it. All of them spent 3 years with Jesus. What were they doing? They were hearing from the Lord. 3 years. See now, that Jesus trained them. What I'm telling you now, practically was done in the Bible. For 3 years, disciples were with Jesus. And in those 3 years, they were listening to him. And then for 40 days, after he rose from the dead, they were also with him, learning from him. Here, he was the one speaking. They were asking questions, and he was answering them. And he was answering them questions about their school fees, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, their marriage. Somebody does not like them. That was not their question. Go check the Bible. In fact, in the whole of Scripture, maybe in three or four places, were personal issues brought to Jesus by the disciples. When James and John, the son of Zebedee, wanted their mother to make them autonomy. Right hand and left hand. That point. All right. And then when the mother-in-law of Peter was sick, that was quite personal also. But beyond that, the questions those people are asking was on the kingdom. They will hear Jesus teach. They will have heard. Then they will come and seek clarification. You will notice that they were learning of the kingdom. They were not talking about, who should I marry? Who should I, travel? Should I sit down at home? That, all those things that we just want to choke God with our issues, so we don't hear anything. Because every time somebody tells you God does not talk to them, ask them how they know. They will say, I brought this issue to him, he didn't say anything. So basically, they were the ones that brought the topic now. They are clear, speak on this thing as if God is Google, you know. Or when you want to talk to Google, that's what you do now. You go to Google and then you type a problem inside, and then Google gives you a reply. If you want to do it with any AI or Grok, that's what you also do. You type a problem, then that thing will reply. The many of us are treating God that way. We didn't learn his ways. We didn't take time. Look at Apostle Paul. 3 years, Apostle Paul separated himself and went to the desert of Arabia to study the scriptures, to learn how to hear from God. Because if you are going to hear, you have to listen to God. In order to know my mind, how Bible got things, you have to live it in. You have to. My wife, my children, they of course, they know how I think. They know. They will know, when daddy says five, it's five. Daddy does not like getting to a place late. Daddy starts a service. You always like to keep to time. They know they can. They will know the nuances, they will know the approach, they will know how not to disturb me, when not to disturb me, when I'm praying, what I'm doing. They will know. See? Many people that you say I'm familiar with Abraham, they are not familiar with me. They just bring me issues to solve. You see, they will say, it's my friend. I know him very well. Send him a message. This is phone number. You see now, that's what they will say. But How are we related? How do they know me? They know me because speak on this issue. Right, I mean, God, these are the issues. Say something on these issues. That's how they know me. But in their own eyes, oh, we are quite charming, right? But those I'm charming with are those who stay, who know me, and they understand me, and it is not based on issues. This is the first step to being a prophet or to prophecy. If you do not go through this stage, you will not be able to hear. Anybody that tells you, "I just woke up, I'm hearing from God, I don't read the Bible, I just hear," is a lie. It is not possible for you to just start hearing without adequate study. How, if you don't understand the code, how do you then speak it? Everybody that has learned a second or third language spent years mastering the language. We started learning English language from primary school, in fact, from before we started school, parents started speaking it to us. Some of us, after that, to pick up a third language became a problem when we have grown older, because again, it's not as if we cannot learn it, but many of us are not just good with languages, or we just don't have the patience. So, hearing from God is not difficult. First, you must take the scriptures. You must begin to read from Genesis. You must take away everything that your pastors have taught, that I have also taught you. It is time for you to know God for yourself. To know God for yourself, not through the lens of a third party, not through your daddy or through your mommy or through your uncle. Not true. It's time to know God for yourself, to know Him through the experiences of those who have worked with Him in the past. That's why we have the Bible. The Bible is a collection of the experiences of those who have worked with God before in various circumstances, time, situations, space, are facing the various issues. So you read the story of a prophet, you read that of a king, of several kings, you read that of Deborah, you read that of Mary, you begin to see God through a particular lens. That, oh my, I'm beginning to understand this person. This person is not who I thought or who I assumed or who they told me or who I heard he is. I'm beginning to know him for myself. That knowledge of God, that is what we call gnosko. That is knowing the ways of God, learning the ways of God. It is important for you to be able to hear God right. We will see some people, they will say, "Ah, I have a dream. Somebody is chasing me." It is impossible if you know God. Somebody who knows God well, it is impossible for that to happen. If people don't know God well, they will say, "Ah, God, somebody is chasing me. Oh, somebody," then they will go to a man of another man of God. "Ah, God spoke to me." "So what did God say?" "I saw somebody chasing me. It's my mother-in-law." And then they begin to cause trouble in their family. And that will persist. I was speaking to a woman on the phone. I wasn't supposed to speak. She was speaking to somebody, and I was privy to her situation. This woman was talking about her mother. She was alluding that her mother was a witch. Now, the mother had called me when she was sick, and the mother said, "Ah, but I mean, God, this my daughter must not die. My daughter must not die, but I mean, God, please, anything you can do in this world." And not only did the woman speak like that, she called the medical doctor. The medical doctor went to her house, picked her from the house, took her to the hospital, spent millions. The mother changed her house, rented another house for her, changed her children's school. The mother did everything, and I was away. And here I was on the phone. The other person put this person on speaker, and the person was saying, "I had a dream. In the dream, I saw her mother was taking me to some people. She wanted to hand me over to them. She wanted to initiate me." I screamed. I wasn't supposed to speak because the other person, you have to understand what I'm saying. The call was not to me. She was talking to somebody else entirely. I was just there. But when she began to say, "My mother was a witch, I saw her in a dream. She was going to initiate me." I couldn't keep quiet anymore. I said, shut up. Ah, so you're an ingrate, you're a bad person. Even if you swear that you saw that, you are going to weigh it against the only person that is helping you now. You are calling her a witch. That your brain is not working. If this person heard what you have said and decided not to help you again, that is the only person that is helping you in this world. That is, I mean, you are about to die. This person spent over 20 million naira to make sure that they take you to the hospital, they test you, they do everything, they extract whatever is wrong with you from your system. She changed the environment, rented the house for you, furnished it. Even your children, took your children, put them there, put them in school, did not spare a penny. This one person, and the same person is the person you are saying wanted to initiate you into witchcraft. Said, how can you say that? She began to stammer because she didn't know I was on the call. So even if you said that you saw that, you should know that somebody is trying to separate you and your mother. And once your mother leaves your life, then you are an easy prey. If somebody wanted to kill you, and the first person the person will target is your support system. The person will take your support system away so that the person will isolate you and then they will kill you in the forest, when in the jungle, when the lion is trying to hunt animals. It does not hunt the prime, strong animals. It always goes for the weak ones, little babies or the sickly ones that cannot run, that cannot keep up. Because it knows that if it goes after the prime ones, they are strong, and they will fight back. So it's always the weak that is preyed upon. How are you weak? But when they separate you from your system. So you are the one that is dealing now, that your mother that's helping you is a witch. So if your mother hears this, and your mother stops helping you, you are back to square one. No more money, no more support financially, no more love, no more anything. Then you be telling everybody, it's my mother that abandoned me, she's a witch, and then you will die. And then people will not believe and say, ah, your mother is a witch. But they will have completed their job. And this is why it is important that you know God before you say you are hearing from God. Because a lot of people don't know God. They don't know the scriptures, and they will say God spoke to them. It is ridiculous. How can God be speaking to you? You don't even know the... Is it not ridiculous to you? It's like, if I come to you now, I say, if I come to you now, I say, Donald Trump is talking to me. I'm not going to ask him, where did you meet Donald Trump? It's somebody that didn't know God. They just say, I'm born again. Then they say, God is talking to them. Ask them, have you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? They will say no. Do you have daily fellowship? They will say no. Do you know any? They don't know anything. I go to church on Sundays. That's me, I'm a Christian. Then, do you know when God talks to them? When it's time for them to pick husband? It's a very terrible thing. When they want to pick husband or pick wife, suddenly God will speak. After they pick husband or wife, God will start speaking. And that decision is the most important in their life. The most important. And their desire will speak and they will say it's God. Train yourself to obey the instructions of God. Hear ye him. Speak, for thy servant heareth. You see? I'm deliberately going to stay on this so that you can begin to practice it. You begin to speak to your spirit from today. I do that every day. When the Lord speaks to you, you will hear. The voice of a stranger, you will not hear. When the voice of God comes to you, you will allow to hear it. My spirit is stirred to hear from the Lord. When I open the scriptures, I hear from the Lord. I see from the Lord. I know the intentions of God. The intentions of God are made pure to me, not colored by any man. I see the true color, what God wants to achieve. In the passage I'm reading, I will see this is God's aim. I'm not going to be looking at, oh, David and Goliath, let's clap for David. Mm-mm. What is God looking for? What is God's motive here? Because God's motive was not killing Goliath. God's motive was to make David king. The path that David took to become king was long, but God guided him through all that path. All the choices he made, from going to labor, killing Goliath, going to live in Ziklag, and all those things, and his meeting with Jonathan, and the source persecution, all of them, Well, problems David faced on his way to fulfilling destiny, which is to become king. But we know the intention of God from the beginning, that God said, I'm making you king. 1 Samuel chapter 16. You see? So then, how did God bring about that intention? That's what I want to read. I didn't want to read scripture so that I can come and use it to preach. No, I want to see God's intention. I want to see where it worked, where it didn't work. And the same thing, I'll apply the same principle to everyone I read in the scriptures. I'm not telling you how to read the Bible, I'm telling you how I read. Because it is important that I know this is how God's heart works. This is his intention. This is what he wants to bring out. I'm not just going to be telling tales by the moonlight and prove that I know stories of the Bible. The stories are not the issue. What is the motive? What is the intention? What is God telling us? What is God willing to do and undo in order to bring about the fulfillment of his word? What are the boundaries? What can God do and undo for me? If God tells me, oh, I'm going to give you a son, for example, where are the places I can go? Where are the places I cannot go? What are the things I can do? What are the things I cannot do? What are the things that are not acceptable? What are the things that are acceptable? You have to fulfill God's word. Those are the things you begin to learn when you are reading scripture. So that when you begin to hear from God, you will not say, I saw a prophecy. God said he will give you a child, but you must come with seven cows. We will kill seven cows. Of course, we know that God will never say that. But people say that. There are some prophets. They will tell you that they have to do divorce, spiritual divorce. That you have to bring some material. I will take it to the river so that we can redeem you. When I got a call from a born-again Christian, born-again tongue talking in Abuja, telling me that her mother went to meet somebody for prayers because she hasn't gotten married. And then the pastor said they should send her to Delta because she's from Delta, that they would do spiritual divorce for her. And after that, she will be able to catch a husband. And then she wanted my opinion. I started laughing. I said, and he said, as a man of God, very hot. I said, come on. See, all these things, when you would know that there is no basis for this in the word of God at all. It's a, nobody who knows God can ever accept such a person as a prophet. If they tell you that's one prophet and that the prophet is doing human sacrifice, you are automatically going to say, no, the person is doing chicken sacrifice. You are going to say no. The person is doing pigeon sacrifice. You are going to say no. He's going to say no, Christ is the sacrifice and has died once and for all, and after him there shall be no more. And that is the word of God, because I know God. So this prophecy is a lie. You will not then tie yourself to a demon because you are looking for prophecy. But if you don't know God, you will go there. I know many born again Christians who have gone to do spiritual divorce, and by then, when they went to do it, that was how they introduced a demon into their life, because they opened the door to affliction because of lack of knowledge. So when you are reading the scriptures, you don't read academically. I've shared with us before. I had a professor when I was in UI, who was a professor of biblical studies, but he was an Alhaji. He was a Muslim. A Muslim who had PhD in Bible studies, I mean theological. It was contradiction, but I learned from it a lot. Why? Because it shows you that when people read the Bible with their brain, when they read it with their brain for the purpose of just getting a degree and all that, they may never become born again. They may never have an encounter with God. They can be quoting scripture like this, quoting scripture like this, and yet it is just a cerebral thing. It is not of the heart. It says that thy words shall not depart from thy mouth. He said, you set your heart, you set your heart, your mouth and your heart, they are together. Your mouth, you speak, with your heart, you believe. If you don't believe with your heart, whatever you say with your mouth is empty. Same thing with prayer. When people pray, their prayer doesn't get answered. They complain. I look at them. My prayer gets answered. The reason is because my prayers always comes from my heart. I cannot just be speaking English on my head. I have always detested things that are from the head. And that is because I know, and I say it all the time, I'm quite intelligent. So when people are speaking, I judge them. When people are praying for me, when I was young, pastors, I'll be listening to their English. I'll be correcting their English. They are praying for me. So the pastor will now do bad English, eh? And then I'll be disconnected. I'll say, is that? I'm like, what? What? Am I the one that has done it before? If you have done it before, can I see your hand? Pastor was praying for you and he did tear and you cut it. What? See now. See, the other people that have done it. It's only one person. Hey, what? The pastor said, but did you not go to school? Once I catch the town, your prayer cannot be answered again because in my head, thank you for humoring me. So if you get the point, you see? So prayer cannot be English. It has to be from the heart. So when you are praying, it has to be from your heart, not from your head. When you are studying the scriptures, it has to be, you have to open your heart, open the gates of your heart, and let the word of God stir in your heart, not in your head. So it was a life lesson for me, how to hear from God. You must open your heart. And when you want to open your heart, you open your heart with your mouth. You speak to your body, you speak to your body, you speak to your mind, you speak to your spirit. You speak to your spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus Christ. You have given me the Holy Ghost. Today, Lord, I want to hear from the Holy Spirit. I want to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want to listen to him as I study this word. And then when you are studying, don't just read it. Read it and allow the word to, you just that you begin to have understanding of it. You are beginning to hear from God. You begin to have understanding of it beyond what was written. You will read, you will see a scripture like this. What no other person has ever taught before. The Holy Spirit will teach it to you. Like, what? I've never seen this before. And it is not from English. It's not from your grammatical place. It is from your heart. You begin to know. But you must speak to your heart. You must speak to your spirit. You must say, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. My spirit will hear from God. You hear. I hear. I know. I hear. I know. Have understanding of the things of the spirit. Have understanding of the things of the spirit. My spirit is open to the word of God. And you will not just say that and not read your Bible. A lot of people, they will be confessing, I know the God, like that. And then they don't read the Bible. So they are just confessing from the head. They want to know, but they are not willing to put in the work to know. How can you want to know God without knowing his word? Is the mirror not the mirror by which we see God that will become like him? The scriptures say we should go in grace at the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, purify them by my word. It is the word of God that purifies. It is the word of God that transforms. It is the word of God that changes us. It is the word of God that is the basis. That was the secret of Apostle Paul. It was the secret of John. It was the secret of all the apostles. They cannot come to your tongue and you just want answers without process. That's a process. So two things I've taught you today. Number one, hear. That is the beginning. Not talk. Hear. Number two, speak to your spirit to understand, to open, to hear. You confess it. It is confession. I have understanding. I know more than my teachers. David did it so many times in the Bible. So many of his psalms, they are confessions. Confessions of his standing in God, confession of his faith. Jesus did a lot of confession. I am my father as one. What I see my father do, I do. Jesus, that's Jesus. So again, there are examples in the Bible. God said, speak as I speak. Prophesy has commanded. I'm going to speak on that maybe tomorrow, or maybe I'm thinking of later tonight, but it's fine. Because I don't want those who come from 6 o'clock class to miss out on anything. So I'll speak on that tomorrow. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin. That is the negative. The positive is that I may please you. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I may please you, that I may know your ways, that I may know your life, that I may do the things that you want. That's why your word is in my heart. The negative is that I may not sin against you. That's the negative. The positive is there. The word of God is the antenna, is the key. Before you know it, I'm telling you, you'll be speaking. Glory to God. And you'll be hearing and it'll be clear. All right. It's time to give our offering. Thank you, Jesus. I believe you had a wonderful class. And as we learned a thing or two, again, tell your pastors, all pastors, bishops, apostles, Reverend, that this class will benefit them. And this is an open class. They can listen to the class again. They can download it. They can, but it is open class and it is for the benefit of the body of Christ. We want to raise a generation that really knows the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your children. Thank you because they can hear from you. Their spirits are open. The gates of their cities, of their spirits are open. The Holy Spirit is actively incubating their hearts. The Holy Spirit is actively instructing their minds, informing their minds, teaching their minds, controlling their reality. The Holy Spirit is actively, not passively. The Holy Spirit is not asleep in them. The Holy Spirit is not asleep in them. The Holy Spirit is awake. The Holy Spirit is not asleep. Their soul is not ruling their spirit. Their spirit is ruling their souls. My spirit is ruling my soul. My spirit is Lord over my soul. My soul does not lead my spirit. The Spirit of God in me rules over my soul, domesticates it, rules over it, trains it, establishes it, and shows it the path it must follow. The Holy Spirit trains my human spirit every day, that I may do the will of God, that I may live a life worthy of the calling in which I have been called, that I may please the Lord all the time, that the word that I speak may reflect the true reality of Christ and not reflect any form of self or any form of advantage or coercion or manipulation of his people, that my words will declare and that those who hear it, they may profit thereby. That is the word of God. I declare that your finances are blessed. I declare that as you have committed to giving, as we teach and as we are blessed, that you continue to experience the lifting of the Lord, that your testimonies are founded and solid. And by the end of this season, your Christian life is truly transformed, absolutely transformed. You are different. You feel it in your bones. You are flying on eagle's wing. You are surmounting mountains. You have clarity. Things are falling onto you in pleasant places. You just know that, oh my God, I have come to know the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, glory!
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 Glory! Glory!